Are you tired of success that feels empty? Well, we're going to welcome a beautiful person, Becky Cohen, founder of the Conscious Revolution and a leading human design, I love it, and a transformation coach. She's going to be drawing on her 15 years as a corporate consultant, and she's going to share the power of unmasking conformity. She's going to help us discover the true purpose. I'm ready for that because you know we keep it real on purpose. So we're gonna speak to her about this true purpose and build a business that feels deeply aligned and fulfilling. I can't wait to hear this because she's going to use her intuitive business strategies to help us break free. And you know us in New York, people, of burnout. And redefine leadership through authenticity and conscious impact. Welcome to the show, Becky Cohen.
Wow, thank you for that introduction. Amazing. So happy to be with you.
Oh, I'm excited for you to be here as we had our back show. You know, we were having a great time because I love Australia. Love it, love it, love it. And, you know, we've all been there. We've all been there, like, you know, through what you've done. So first question I want to ask you is, how do you show up in the world?
Wow, great question. So, well, my business basically and the brand of it, even when I was going through it called the Conscious Revolution, it's funny when you align to something, but the more and more you get into the work that you do and how much more that even changes along the way and more alignment. So, honestly, I came from a really successful career within project management and consulting. I was earning a lot of money. But in the background of all of that, I was very spiritual. So the first, you know, 40-ish years of my life when I was going through that, I never found my purpose. I was chasing success, doing all the ticking all the boxes, what I thought I needed to do, had to do, so, you know, all the societal expectations. And really within all of that, it was like I endured some of the most toxic cultures, companies, really, you know, I saw the worst of the worst, all the harassment and bullying that went on, you know, people being thrown under the bus. And it's like having to wear a mask of not being my true authentic self, from being spiritual, from knowing that I was gay from a very young age, from also knowing I had ADHD and trying to be normal, you know, in that society, wearing masks on masks, right? And for me, I just knew that every day as I wake up more, I'm just like, what the hell am I doing with my life? Like, where am I meant to be? Because this isn't it. And I always thought if I actually found what it was that I was meant to do, I wouldn't be doing this. So I used to show up as the chameleon. I would call myself the chameleon. I could fit in any way or any way you wanted me to at the time, right? And it wasn't until I really went into the deep work and started to really go in and do the transformation from the inside and figure out it was an inside job to change first before I could do anything on the outside to help others. And so now for me, it's like saying no to all of this. It was like one day I just realized of how I was meant to help people, bringing my spirituality gifts together, all the life purpose and development work that I've been doing on myself. I realized, and also because my spiritual gifts was really, I had these downloads on how to help people create new businesses. So I was bringing my project management skills, downloading all the time. And I realized one day, I was like, well, this is really what I'm meant to be doing here in this life. And I want to be helping conscious people, helping them through that awakening journey, as well as the part behind that is how we can do business ethically, morally, and humanely, right? Yeah. I don't need to be here. So that's how the Conscious Revolution. So I wanted to start a revolution to how we can actually consciously step in and authentically be ourselves unapologetically and help people. So the brand's huge for me.
Yeah, I love it. I love all that you're doing. Again, you were spiritual and you had to find out a lot of things, right? I think we were on two different sides of the world experiencing the same exact thing. I mean, hearing the backbiting and all of that, I was like, oh gosh, this is bad. And, you know, believe it or not, no matter what job you're in, it's corporate. Just corporate. It's like, they got the same sicknesses. They really do, right? You find that they all have the same sicknesses, and there's not an authentic person in the group. Because I found when I was there, and I was very authentic, and well, at least I thought it was. Then I started conforming to them, and then when I, like you said, no one brings up the coding and the masking. Nobody brings that up. You're the first one that has brought that up, that really? The coding and the masking is what brings the burnout, because you're trying now to conform because they have a way that they do things. So you have to either shut up, you know, be quiet, not be yourself. Up, right. And you're conforming to them, right?
Yeah.
You're conforming to them. You're wearing a mask. And then you're putting this mask on every time you get in your car to drive to the job. You're putting it on when you wake up. Oh, gosh, I got to go to that place today. And you're putting it on. But I find that every organization, if it's a nonprofit or whatever, it's corporate. It really is, because they have the same sicknesses. And I don't think people see it. What do you think?
Yeah, look, and it's interesting because I feel like a lot of people, when they decide that they want to be in a professional, they go to the lucky ones who already think that they know what they want to be. It's very hard at 18 also to think that you know what you want to be and then go and do that at university, get the grades you need to, colleges, guys say, you know, and work through the system. But a lot of people think going into things like even, let's talk human resources. They're supposed to be there for the human, right? Like you're supposed to be...
Right.
And for the person, if you've got a problem, come speak to us. Like, you know, and my sister, I watched her journey. She's older than me. She thought she was going to be there for the human, learned human resource management, went in and started to realize as soon as she started to be there for the person, she was going to lose her job. She was meant to back the CEO, you know, so and do it, exit in a way that doesn't get them sued, you know. So it's all about in the end, whatever it is, let's just say I've had clients of mine who are like pharmacists. They thought they're going to change the world and help people because their mother or their grandmother was sick. And then you get into the pharmaceutical industry and you find out how evil some of this stuff is, right? So each one, like you said, it has its own, you know, toxicity going on within it. But we go in believing that we're going to do something and change the world or be part of some sort of revolution to be able to help people, only to get stuck in it to realize then that's when the masks come on. Fear of losing your job, somebody else is going to take your place, play the game or get out. That's really what it's like. And slowly it chips away with you slowly over time until one day you wake up and go, who the hell have I become? I don't even know who I am anymore.
Exactly. I could tell you, in that world, I've always worked for myself most of my life. I was a real estate broker. I had my own offices. So it was like I always worked for myself. It was not until I was older that I had an opportunity to go back to work, which I never agreed to. I didn't want to work. So I always said, I'm working with them or partnering with them. I tried to, but it was still work, girl. It was still work, girl. And then slowly... You know, they didn't know how to grasp me. They didn't know how to work with me because I was the odd one out, you know. But slowly, they started trying to chip away at me and chip away and limit me. And now I see, they wanted me to do more work in less time with one person. And I'm like, okay, this is a no. And every time would say no, okay, then you can't do this. If you're going to tell me no here, you can't do. And pretty soon I started doubting myself. I'm like.
Exactly. They chip away your confidence, self-question, what's wrong with you. Then you kind of try to people please, whatever that is, you know, it's all those things. And you don't realize how much you start to lose yourself, or you're the odd one out always, not belonging, not feeling like you can find your people. You know, you're looking for your people. You might find one person you align with in the company, maybe. But you're always on the outer and you kind of wonder, like, where do I fit into the world? It's all those questions. And especially as we get towards what people think is a midlife crisis, that 40, 42 mark, but we're all going through something actually astrologically. Yep. It's when Uranus does a 180 in the sky in opposition. What people think, I'm going through an existential crisis, midlife crisis, all that. It's actually us waking up to our second act. And really then, for that to happen, all these other things are starting to, the universe puts things in your place that gets harder and harder until you listen to the call, because your second act is asking you to step into purpose. You'll start to hear the call. And for that to happen, all of these other things need to happen that we start to feel pain, because if we're walking around life and we're like this 7 out of 10, nothing to complain about, I've got enough money, I have a job, like there's so many people like in the world that's, you know, worse off, whatever story you tell yourself, I'm okay, right? It's not until something really horrible comes, like the burnout, the you know, the illness, you get fired, your relationships fall apart, that you get shaken up to wake up, really, to do something else. And that's, you know, what I always say is the universe either tickles you with a feather or punches you in the face, not listening to the signs, right?
Right.
So it's asking you to wake up. So it has to get really bad before you turn it around. And it's an identity. When I talk about the mask, they start trying to come off around that 40 and asking you to step into authenticity.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. What is the single most toxic metric of success that people must reject to find true fulfilling alignment?
Ooh, that's huge. Look, I think for everyone it's going to be different. And honestly, like, I know we haven't spoken much about human design, but this tool that I really believe is the most powerful modality on the planet for that self-realization at the moment, because we're all got a unique design. For anyone out there who hasn't heard of human design, you can get a free chart at mybodygraph.com, and all it's based on is your birth details. So it is very unique to who you are. And each one of us is going to be not programmed, but we're designed in a way to, when we're in alignment, what success looks like, and it's going to look different to all of us versus out of alignment. So that challenge of that thing that comes for us is going to look different for those, depending on what type you are and how you're designed to be. But all those things we're talking about, where some people like are more, and a lot of us like growing up, because first of all, I'm going to say this for everyone, we're born in a place where we are trying to live up to societal expectations, cultural expectations, parental teachers, the society tells us how and who we're meant to be and define success, right? We're looking externally rather than internally. So whatever, and usually it's quite materialistic, climbing that social ladder, climbing the corporate ladder, the work ladder, whatever that is, to be good enough, to be the best, and we think that that's all there is. And usually we start to realize the more that we climb, from a lot of us, I shouldn't say everyone's, for the awakened and spiritual conscious ones who are going through that path, we're going to start to realize the more we do that, the more unhappy we are, like in, like, you know, in terms of what you have to sacrifice in order to be there. So it's going to be that realizing, well, is this all there is? That's what it's going to feel like. What else is there? And it's about then finding what internal success means to you, whether that's helping 5 or 10 people within an area to transform their lives, or whether you're for a cause because, for instance, you've been through something horrific or your family have, and you can help those people through a cause, and detangling many times, monetizing versus that. That doesn't mean that money is evil, money is bad. You can have both. That reward of success is when you can actually feel fulfilled in your purpose and helping other people, rather than it being just a dollar value and losing yourself.
Well, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. So I'm going to go back, because you did mention human design. What's the biggest corporate mask that is the established conscious leader is still wearing that the human design really exposes?
So basically in human design, there are 5 types like that you can fall into. So if you think about astrology, everyone knows, like, you know, if you ask, oh, what star sign are you, you'll know what it is. So we think human design, that top level is 5. And that tells you how to energetically, how you're supposed to operate in this world. I really find it's about your energy type. So like in terms of when you're, for instance, there's the generator, manifesting generator, there's a projector, reflector, and a manifester. All those 5 are going to operate very differently. And when you're, the way that the corporate life is, let's talk the 9 to 5, which is really like 9 to 9. It's not 9 to 5, you're getting off scot-free these days, right? It's not even 9 to 5. You know what I'm saying? So it's, first of all, it's like this biggest myth of who works the most, hustles the most, is there the longest, all those things. It's this facade that they've created of what it means. And I also believe in a lot of these toxic cultures, the way that you climb up the ladder is usually by blaming others, throwing people under the bus,
yes,
being a whistleblower, and that's usually the one that yells the loudest, you know what I mean, gets the furthest almost, you know, it's not
yep,
about
absolutely.
And so that they can contain and distill fear into people to do their job.
That is correct. That is correct.
That's how I see the ecosystem at the moment. But from a human design perspective, because 70% of the planet at the moment are either generators or manifesting generators, the thing is with these types, and I'm one of them, and I can see it, is we have our strongest power is our sacral, and the sacral is the life force energy, which means we can go and go like the Energizer Bunny, go, 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 go. But so we're pushing out all this energy and expecting the rest of the world to keep up with us. And not everyone's designed that way. Some people, the projectors, there's 20% on the planet. They're here to guide and teach people. They're supposed to come in and guide, but the generators and manifesting generators are the builders, the doers, right? So if you think about that, if corporate accepted that guides and teachers could provide with their wisdom and come in and do things with breaks in between so that they can rest and recharge, but they're still playing out their wisdom and it's gold and they've gotten to a point where it's worthy to do less than more. Do you get what I'm saying? That would be perfect.
Yeah, that's it. You're talking about me.
Right?
You're exactly. And then you're talking about me. You really are talking about me.
Right.
It's scary. And then,
okay, there we go. And then the generators, the manifesting generators, they still burn out because they're being pushed. The whole purpose of them is to do work that they love. They're here to feel satisfied in everything they do. It's a very simple purpose. Do what you love every single day, and then you will build and build and you will charge. You know, you've got all this energy to exert. Otherwise, you're going to burn out because you're not doing what you love and it's frustrating. You're going against exactly how you're designed to operate, right? So with that in mind, and the manifestors, there's only 9 or 10% in the world, but they're the visionaries. They're here to see, like, into, like, the like what is possible. So if they're here, like, the Apple and all of those kinds of companies, like, they actually naturally had, like, Steve Jobs was a manifester. So typical manifestor, if he was doing the vision, get the team to build it, they're all excited about it. And then you have the guys of the wisdom to lead the teams into that future. Can you see that? I mean, I'm not sure that's what happens within Apple, but that's a Steve Jobs.
I can see it. What you're saying, I can see it. I can see that, yeah. I could see it all.
So the manifestors get excited about creation. They need to be in their creation mode, leave them alone in their little pit, and they've got all this starter energy. But then they pass the baton over, right, to the manifestors, manifesting generators and generators. They're all excited to build these new Apple products, and they're loving it, you know. And then the guides are the ones that are leading the teams. Right? So they come in, you know, lead the teams, lead the builders to do what they need to do. And then the last one is the reflectors. We only have 1% on the planet, right? 1%. And they're so rare. I've only met 3 in my lifetime. But their energy is so open that they're always, and what a reflector is, like a mirror, right? So they're mirroring back and reflecting back to you what's going on. You can see it. They look into your eyes and it's almost like if you have a question, it's almost like you go, oh, then I know what to do. Thanks for all your advice. And they can just stand there and they haven't done anything. You answer your own questions because they're reflecting back to you. So if you think about that, they're obviously in the community. They can feel the health, the good and the bad. They're reflecting back what's positive and what's negative, what's not working. So they're like the community advisors, the builders. They can just come in, check in, how are things going, and it's a valuable, like if you go with a coach for an hour, how much more you get done in an hour than trying to do it yourself when you can't see your blind spots, for instance, right? And they really need to charge their energy because they're picking up everyone's energy around them. So you can imagine how exhausting that is. But the value of that 1 hour that you get with them is priceless. So why do we all need to be killing ourselves? It's just how we come into this ecosystem to actually build. Can you imagine if we built corporate with these 5 types in mind and they all had a place and everyone brought their strengths and left the rest that they weren't great at?
Right.
How that would be.
I can imagine. The way you built it out, I could see in teams just by, you know, working with them, you know. I was just reflecting on when you was talking just about, like, where I was. If the manager wasn't toxic, they could have seen all of that and it would have worked. But they don't usually see the strengths. What you're talking about, it needs to be the blueprint for every business. It really needs to be. And I'm actually going to get whatever book or whatever you have. I'm getting that because I have a team of my own and I do look towards their strengths and let them just freestyle it. You know, like you tell me, because I know what's going on, what I want to see, you know, but you tell me because you have the expertise. And I, you know, I see what you, when you broke it down, that makes so much sense. I was like, everyone should have this blueprint. This is the way your business should look. Just, this is the people, figure them out.
Yeah.
You know, and if we as leaders, or the ones, the managers, or however you want to say it.
Yeah.
If we could see, first know who we are in the
100%. First step. Your strengths, what you give to the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see our strengths first, and then we can see everybody else's. And we don't work as hard.
Yeah, exactly. So you just nailed it. And like, it's so important that you do the work yourself, that self-discovery. Like, had I had this years ago, oh my gosh, life would have looked different. But it gives you that self-acceptance that you're perfect the way that you are. And everything has, you know, it's a duality as humans. There's a positive side and a negative side. Own that. But it shows you how, what's waiting on the other side when you get back into alignment. But you're like, all of us can own those things, but it also gives you permission to say, hey, I'm really good at these things. If I just focus my energy on this, then there are other people who can actually focus on those things that they're good at. And I've got permission slip not to burn out because I'm meant to or expected to do all these things.
Yeah, right? There you go. There you go.
And there's no, you that's know, not even all those things. And even us as business owners, how many hats we have to wear, how many times we're told you to, in order to have a successful business, you have to do XYZ in marketing or whatever it is and listen to these gurus. If you're not successful, you just didn't follow my blueprint. Therefore, you know, like it's your problem, it's on you, right? But that's your blueprint, right? That's yours. Right. That's how you're designed to operate. We need to find, and if we can actually go into human design and find our strengths, we'll understand how we can actually operate as a conscious leader here and say, hey, I need a team of experts who that it's those strengths over there and bring them on board. And it gives me permission slip to not have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. I mean, you broke it down. So I can't even unview it. And now I'm going to see even people differently. And this is reflective of even in relationships that you know,
100%.
Okay, how does that person learn? How does that person perceive me? And, you know, like you can use the same dynamic to just do it, almost anything.
100%.
And it would make more sense. It would just make.
Yeah. Look, so I actually do what I call compatibility reading. So whether it be with a relationship, a love relationship, if you're struggling with one of your children, if you're thinking about getting somebody into your business, and I put the charts combined together. So actually you find that also within, when you combine the charts, it's actually how your purpose of coming together and your strengths together as a partnership, and where also you might break down and have like the communication issues or those things. So when you can understand yourself and then the other, there's a way then to also bridge into how you can actually overcome. Like, I've had clients that have come to me for coaching that were struggling in their marriage, and I brought in their spouse's chart and actually overlaid the two together and kind of spoke differently. And then they knew exactly how to go back, even though they weren't into the same things, the other half, how to then communicate and saying, so from my session, this is what I learned about me and you, this is what where we're actually butting heads. I'm going to do my part and communicate with you differently. Because now I see where you're getting frustrated or you feel that you can't come to me. And this is what I need from you because I'm not getting it.
Oh, that's good. Audience, this is real good stuff. I know I have so many other questions for her, but we only limited time. She's going to be back. So don't worry. We're going to extract all the juice from this lady here because it's only 8 a.m. over there. So we got her. Okay. So I know that I have so many questions. You just opened up Pandora's box and now Edna's brain is all over the place. And I want to ask you all these questions, but maybe I can, okay, for the high achiever who has the money, but feels empty, what's the core limiting belief they must confront before they can walk out of this misalignment?
Oh, that's a huge question. And again, I would say it's going to be dependent on your design, where you can dive deeper, because each one of us has actually chosen their limiting beliefs and fears this lifetime we want to experience. So it will come across. But generally, I'm just going to say, even for women, women are always, you know, like, we look calm on the surface and the legs are going like this underneath as well. But like, whereas we don't maybe not have the confidence or think that we ever know enough, good enough, all those things, you know, it's always the not enoughness, I would say, that wound of, it's, but on the surface, everybody thinks they're the best or whatever it is, but underneath, that's the mask. Again, that's a mask that they're wearing, but underneath, usually what's crumbling is all of that. I won't be good enough until that goalpost keeps moving. Like I will be wealthy when I have X amount in my bank account, or I will be... I won't be happy or satisfied till I'm in this leadership position, all those sorts of things. Then you get there and it's like, well, I'm here, and you don't even pat yourself on the back. It's already on to the next thing because there's another thing. So it's the goalpost keeps moving, therefore you never are satisfied where you are, future thinking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Never in the present moment. So you can't enjoy the present and being present.
Yeah.
Slow down, enjoy. You know, that's what I would say is a broad term.
Yes, but slow down. I could tell you, I'm looking at my life. All of this is flashing for me. Like, it's just like flashing.
Mm-hmm.
And I could look at my life. I just said this the other day. I did so many amazing things, but I never celebrated not one of them.
That's right.
And it was on to the next thing, on to the next thing. One thing was I wanted to be appreciated and loved, you know, I didn't get that. So I was always trying to excel above the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, until I found out, I was like, hey, even if I did this, it's proven that person's never going to say, oh, you did great. I love you for that. So I'm never going to get that. So appreciating and staying in the moment, because I would do something, just like you said, I would do something, like I modeled for Vogue before. I would be modeling and thinking about something else, like what's the next thing I'm going to do, not being in the moment at all. It was like everything was fast paced, and it probably it came from limiting beliefs that I wasn't enough. The next thing was enough.
Exactly. And you tapped on something huge as well. If you are not celebrating you and not seeing what you did, whatever a partner is or whoever it is in your life is going to say something, it's going to come across and going, really, is that it? Because inside you haven't accepted it for yourself. So no one's going to give you that validation you need if you can't even give that to yourself first, because you can't receive it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't.
You can't receive it, and your partner would turn around and say, well, you know, like, I've done that in the past, but it just doesn't feel like you can accept it. So, you know, whatever that looks like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah, you're being, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and
okay. Well,
you don't believe them. You don't believe them. You're like, okay,
exactly.
You don't believe them, you know, and you'll never have a deep relationship if you don't fix that, you know.
100% inside. And yeah, honestly, like, if you guys can get a hold of your human design chart, I know it's really, there's a lot of information, but I've given Edna a download where you, once you know your type, you can really get deeper into the first parts of your type. And also there's a link there. I'm happy to give your audience a 30-minute free session with me to dive a bit deeper into their human design as well. So that's where starts. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So just know, audience, it will be in the comment section of the audio and the video. So if you don't watch until the end, oh, well, you won't get it.
Love it.
Okay, just to get out. So this was truly, truly awakening for me. Thank you, Becky. Really, thank you.
For our listeners
who are ready to stop forcing success and start building a life and a business rooted in true purpose and unique gifts, she's the one. Becky, She's the
one.
Thank you so much. All right. Again, say the link where we can get those things. I want you to say it and tell us where we can get it.
Okay, so the link is on my landing page, but if you go to my website, you can go to www.theconsciousrevolution.com.au. You will have it in the links. You will find in there all my freebies as well, especially, but I'll give Edna a special link for you guys that will be in the notes.
Okay.
So you can also grab a free 30-minute session with me as well.
Sounds good to me. I like it a lot. All right. So if this episode has inspired you to put down the mask and start living in alignment, please like, subscribe, and share this episode with another conscious leader. You're conscious now. Remember, you're not unconscious. You're conscious. Okay. Who needs to hear this message? This conversation with Becky Cohen kept it real and on purpose. And don't forget to come back next week for more Keeping It Real on Purpose. Bye for now.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.